fighting for truth, justice, and the American small business owner, here is Mark Montgomery.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Mark Montgomery on Small Biz Talk Radio, coming at you live and local on the Wall Street Business Network. You can email the show during, because I do monitor the emails throughout the show, mark@smallbiztalkradio.com. So if you have any comments, issues, questions that you wish to bring up, that's a good way to do it. mark@smallbiztalkradio.com. Or, of course, you can call the show at 1-866-576-1055. We're also live streamed. You can go to smallbiztalkradio.com. Click on Listen Live on Money 105.5 and podcast. You know, in the future or after the show, you couldn't listen to the whole show and you want to go back on it, you can go to smallbiztalkradio.com and just click on podcast and bring it up. We're in session with Tom Bones Insurance Matters, and it's a great opportunity to discuss insurance matters, because it matters, right, Tom?
In session. I think we need a gavel.
There we go.
Can you get a gavel next time, and we'll try the gavel thing?
Yeah, we'll try that.
You know, I was thinking about, as I was coming into the studio this morning, you were talking about April doing this and Diane doing that and so forth. Have you given thought to this, that you really have surrounded yourself with some very talented, strong women who are leaders?
Hey, that's the only way you can make things work, is have people that are better than you around you. Well, better at what they do.
Well, that's been something.
You're absolutely right.
Well, that's something that both of us have been preaching since we've known each other, mm-hmm. in that, about surrounding oneself with individuals, advisors that know more than you know.
That's right.
And I'm really pleased to, after many, many months of arm-twisting, cajoling, and trying to set up a time for Kim Silvers to come into our office. Our office. This is my office now, right? We're in session in the office to chat about human resource services, employment matters, and what's happening regionally and locally. And I'm really pleased to have Kim with us. She has quite a lengthy list of credentials. She has her own firm called here in the Sacramento area called Silvers HR LLC. And you can go to her website, silvershr.com, anytime as well. But Kim brings a wealth of information and background and knowledge. She has not only been working with the Fortune 500 and 1,000, but she has over 100 small and medium-sized businesses that she is a consultant for on employment matters. She's received many, many awards and gives a lot of speeches and chats with people. So coming on the radio with us, Mark, is a very natural thing for Kim. So, Kim, I'm pleased to share the microphone with you this morning.
Hey, good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning to you. That's just great to have you here. You know, I've been thinking a lot about our chat here this morning, and there's really some things that we really need to touch upon in the time that we have together. And one of them is that, you know, what are some of the things that employers are concerned about? What kind of tools do they seem to have available to help them select employees? And you're going to share a little bit about what you see going on as far as is hiring happening and that kind of thing. And what about employers and employees' attitudes towards one another, which I think is Mark is smiling already, because we're going to put the muzzle on him for a few more minutes, as hard as that is, to learn a little more and get a perspective, because this whole show is really about informing our audience, small, medium-sized businesses, and to make their whole jobs a lot easier. So, yeah, if we could just chat for a few minutes about what are some of the concerns that you're seeing as a human resource consultant when it comes to employment-related matters when you talk with your clients or prospective ones?
Well, you know, Tom, when I first meet with a business owner and they're looking for somebody to help them out with the HR side, I find that usually the first issue is just tell me how to get my business done and keep my employees out of court. Or keep me out of court with them, mm-hmm. because California employers are running scared in many cases that they are just one phone call away from some sort of employment suit, call from the labor commissioner's office, workers' compensation claim that will end up costing them buku bucks. And I think it's really scary and in many cases keeps employers from making important decisions and taking action with employees or hiring more people because, you know, they're concerned with what they'll end up with. So that's probably the number one reason that employers call us in. Just keep me out of court and keep me in a position where we can have great employees here and they want to be here.
Do you find, Kim, that since you really have mentioned, without using the word, the interrelationships of all these different topics, the law, workers' compensation, et cetera, do employers just really not see that interrelationship because they're so immersed in the details of their practice or their business?
I think, you know, managing the employment side for most business owners is the secondary issue. You go into business because you love what you do, because you hope you can make a living at it, and you have no idea what it takes to manage a group of people and to manage the costs of those people. And certainly, you know, when I hired my first employee, I'm an HR consultant, and I had no idea that, you know, I'm ending up paying, well, let's add the state employment taxes, let's add the workers' compensation taxes. Then I needed the general liability insurance. I'm sure, Tom, you could rattle off all of those types of insurances I needed.
The whole menu, isn't it?
And, you know, it just was another layer that I didn't have to deal with when I was a sole proprietor and certainly when I had independent contractors.
So when it really comes to hiring somebody and hiring a consultant like yourself, for example, what role do you play compared to that of an employment attorney? Because I get lots of questions from my clients, and even when I'm having a discussion with a prospective client about, you know, is there the chemistry there for us to do business? Do you really have an issue I can solve? Is it solvable, et cetera? Where does a consultant fit in relationship to an employment attorney?
Well, I think there's absolutely a need for employment attorneys when you have issues that have some litigation that's involved. You need legal documents written. You may need privileged conversation. I've been doing this work for a very long time, and so I typically...
Oh, you're still a young person. Don't give me that.
Appreciate that, Tom. But I certainly know when it's time to call in an employment attorney, and we work with a group of employment specialists in town, and we typically only work with an attorney who specializes in employment and labor law. And I would say 97% of the time, our clients do not need an employment attorney. An attorney is $300 to $400 an hour now in Sacramento. It would be that and more in the Bay Area. But the HR consultant will certainly help that employer with the in-the-trenches type of work. And we've been there, and we manage people, so we understand that more from a direct line, whether it's how to deal with a performance issue with an employee, how to get documents put together for new hires, for terminations, for performance management, how to do management training, teaching people how to interview, how to discipline, how to communicate. So those sorts of day-to-day activities, certainly an employment or an HR consultant could take care of.
So it strikes me, Kim, is that what you're saying also is that you kind of do a basic analysis, a review to find out what am I needed for?
Yes.
And then set up a perhaps a checklist of various topics that come up in the dialogue you have with the client.
We have what we call an HR practices review. And much of it is about compliance.
Okay.
You know, are you paying people correctly? Are you doing the right things in terms of I-9s and all that? And then we have another part of it, which is really best practices. What are you doing to give people feedback? How do you recognize people? What sort of management training are you doing? So those are the things that employment attorneys really don't care to do. And we love to do. So I think an HR consultant is a good fit. And for most small businesses, until you get to about 100 employees, you really don't need a full-time on-site HR person. You need some expertise. You need somebody who has your back to make sure that you're taking care of the high side, and that will take care of it for an outsourced HR work.
So we have a long list of different topics to talk about with a client. How does one go about setting up a priority? Is that something that's debated? How do you determine what should be done first, second, third, and fourth, for example?
Well, when we initially meet with a client, we'll go in and do this HR practices review and look at typically about 30 different items that we think are real high points that employers have to have.
30 items.
Typically, we'll, yeah, and then we'll prioritize,
though. I thought
you were
going to make my job easier.
But keep in mind, we're the HR nerds, so we know all those little nooks and crannies. At the top of, I would say, 95% of everyone's list is wage and hour issues.
Okay. And that's a very complex issue, isn't it? Or issues, I should say.
It is.
We're not going to get into it today, but it's very, very complicated.
This is the Mark Montgomery Show on Money 105.5.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Mark Montgomery, and you are listening to Small Biz Talk Radio, coming at you live and local. To reach the show, 1-866-576-1055. Email mark@smallbiztalkradio.com. Live streaming, go to smallbiztalkradio.com or podcast and just click on the appropriate one. And we're in session with Tom Bone with Insurance Matters and Kim Silvers, HR specialist.
Yeah, we're happy to have Kim with us. As you know, it's been a long time, as I mentioned earlier, to try to get her into the show because she's just so darn busy. She has a very thriving practice, and you can be reaching out to Kim at silvershr.com. And Kim is a very talented, knowledgeable human resource consultant, and I have a great deal of respect for what she's done and what she's doing. And we're talking about employment matters and what employers should be concerned about, what their issues might be, and how to avoid them, and how she as a consultant can help them out of the little minefield of California employment law. Kim, one of the things that we want to touch upon this morning when we're together is finding good people. And I know that in preparation for our chat this morning, you mentioned a couple areas that employers may want to consider and those areas that they want to be very careful of. What thoughts do you have as far as finding good people and a few of the tools that employers might be able to utilize?
Well, it's certainly changed from the old days where you just called up the Sacramento Bee and put an ad in the paper, right? In fact, the Bee now has about 2 pages worth of employment ads, and they've moved mostly to online. So I think that's the way of the world, and certainly using the internet, using social media. And, you know, I find more and more that our clients who are typically small businesses who are hiring people, and they are hiring, by the way.
They are hiring.
Yes, we're mostly out of the layoff mode and into not just replacing people, but in some cases hiring new people, new
really?
Positions. Yeah, it's great. In fact, our clients are hiring so much now that I just hired a new HR consultant to add to our team because we can't handle the load.
Well, you know, Kim, I must be reading the wrong papers, going to the wrong websites, and listening to the wrong stations other than one we're on. I got the impression there's doom and gloom out there still, and you're painting a much brighter, happier picture.
I do not see the doom and gloom that I have felt over the last 3 years. And in fact, our client base runs the gamut of industries. We have everything from the chicken pluckers in Stockton to accounting offices, manufacturing, production. We have just about every industry you can imagine.
So you have a sampling of the industry here in the Valley, then.
We do. And I really feel like, given the business owners that I talk to day in and day out, that there is a much more positive bent. They're spending a little bit more money on investments back into the business, on hiring people. And when they're ready to hire, they are looking at, where do I go find those good people? And in most cases, I would say 70% of the time, they are hiring people away from other businesses. They are hiring people who are already employed.
Is that right?
Yes. And those are typically people who are not looking for work.
Well, why is that, do you feel?
Well, I think, you know, there's a move afront to put into the discrimination laws that you can't discriminate against people who are unemployed. I don't think that's gotten many legs at this point.
Yeah, but Mark loves that one.
Yeah, I had to laugh a little bit about that one.
But certainly employers want to make sure that they're getting people who are proven winners, and so I just find that they are looking for people who aren't looking. And so, you know, putting an ad out on Craigslist is pretty risky. Now, in Sacramento, it costs $25
right.
to put an ad on Craigslist, and you will receive a plethora of applicants. 92% of them will not even be remotely qualified, but, you know, they just need to get their resumes out, just hoping for a hit. So I find that looking for people, particularly on social media like LinkedIn,
yes,
where you can go in and look for specific business skills. Maybe you want somebody who worked at a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
You can go find them that way. And then, you know, I certainly work with search firms occasionally where we need to have somebody who really can go out and do a serious search and look for that.
So once the person applies or you have some information about that person you want to steal from a competitor, what do you do? You do an assessment, or what are some of the tools that you might, as an employer, use to kind of get down to what's that Tom Bone person really like that's applying for this position or seems to be interested?
You mean I would want to hire a person like Tom Bone?
Well, I would hope you would.
Sorry to laugh.
That's okay. That's all right. This is what, free speech, right?
It is. Anything goes on this show.
Well, I find that employers are taking longer to hire now, and making sure that they get the right person in the right job. And I always suggest that they do that because it takes a whole lot to get them fired if they're not a good fit. But certainly there are assessment tools. In fact, there are a lot of assessment tools out there, most of them online at this point, where you can not only assess the employee's skill level in particular tools or traits that they need to have, but also work characteristics they have. Are they somebody who pays attention to time, somebody who has a sense of urgency? There are lots of different personality traits that you can assess as well. And we actually work with an assessment consultant who just does that exclusively. And we have just had great success with finding really good people who are good matches, because goodness knows, if I get them in and it's a surprise in terms of what they really are, because we can all fake it during an interview, then it's just so timely and costly to get them out the door.
So you really help your client to select the appropriate tools that will hopefully get the right results or give you the right information to make that decision then.
We do, and we really try and slow down the process to make sure we've looked at every avenue before we make that decision.
Employee referrals, references, things of that nature. Do you find that there's much credibility anymore? Because our firm says, oh, yeah, that person was here this particular time, and that's all I can tell you. So that's really helpful, you know.
I always do reference checks. I always call prior employers, except I don't call the HR department typically. I will call the first line supervisor, and if I can, I'll try and call him or her at home, where their guard is down and I can ask some more personal questions about that individual. So I am looking at that. Background checks, absolutely. You know, there's a new law, I think it's AB 22, that
yes,
will come into effect in January here in California, that limits doing credit checks on candidates unless they have some specific job responsibilities that would allow you to do that. But I absolutely would do background checks. And we typically do those with outside firms that just specialize in that. It's not very expensive. You know, it's probably $50 to $200 to find out if the guy is a criminal in Utah. So I think it's really helpful.
That's great insurance. And we've been talking and are talking to Kim Silvers here of Silvers HR Services here in the Sacramento area about employment matters and how employers can make the right choice and what are some of the concerns that employers particularly have. And I think we're going to be going to a break at the bottom of the hour. Is that correct? I'm trying to get track of the time.
Yeah, we basically have about 1 minute left. But I had a quick question for you too, Kim, before we take a break. But I'm going to hold you over, you know, too. This is an interesting subject. I think that it's important we get this information out because most small businesses don't have an HR department. They don't, and many times don't even know who to contact, really. They're, like you say, they focus on their small business. They're out there driving the forklift or unloading trucks or fixing plumbing or whatever it is. And they have an issue coming up, and they just try to wing it, you know, many times because they really don't even know who to call.
Part of the Wall Street Business Network.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Mark Montgomery, Small Biz Talk Radio, coming at you live and local, 1-866-576-1055, or email mark at smallbiztalkradio.com. And we're in session with Tom Bone's Insurance Matters. And yes, we normally run that between 8 and 8:30. That is the Tom Bone segment, but this is a fascinating subject. It's a very informative subject, and I want to continue on with it. So you owe me big time, Tom. So we're here with Kim Silvers, Silvers HR. But as I was mentioning, and the reason I wanted to hold you over too, is that so many small business owners are out there focusing on their business. They're fixing plumbing or whatever, you know, they're doing, you know, out there. And then all of a sudden they have an employee problem and they really don't know who to go to. They don't know how to handle it. And they get themselves into trouble by saying, hey, you're fired, you know, and there you go. And they don't know who to go to or who to call. And so that's why I wanted to hold you over.
Well, thank you for that, Mark. And I'm happy to be indebted to you. My account is growing, I know.
It's good to know you're indebted.
That's exactly right. It is. And this is a very important subject. And this goes back basically to our philosophy, our mutual philosophy, that you need to surround yourself with people that know more than you know and rely upon their information, their knowledge, their experience to make an informed decisions. And have an advisor like Kim Silvers is really critical. And to do the, I would use the word assessment or review before things happen whenever possible, to set up a timeline of maybe when activities and topics should be addressed so that when it comes time to fire that person, instead of the emotional decision they make, they stop and say, you know, I talked with Kim Silvers, and I, you know, I'm going to give Kim a call before I go any further or say any more. So put the topic on hold, pick up the phone or write an email to her, and then move forward on an intelligent basis. One of the reasons why you're here, Kim, today is also to share with us your perspective of what is happening regionally and locally when it comes to, my word, attitudes or how employers, employees feel about one another and what you see is going on. I know you used a better word than that, but being a basic guy like I am, I use some of these terms that English is kind of like a second language to me, if you don't know that. But I was born here, but I still have the issue. And it's really important for us and those that are listening, what you see going on, and I'm kind of curious as to what you have found when it comes to what does an employer feel about the staff that they have in many cases?
Well, I'm happy to talk about some proactive things, Tom, because I've talked way too much about firing people. I think that employee engagement is the hot, hot term right now. It used to be called morale, but now, you know, when you get paid an extra quarter to use engagement. And it really is important for employers, one, just in terms of hard dollar costs, but also as the unemployment rate comes down. You know, in California right now, it's 11.9%. This time last year, it was 12.5%. So the good news is it's moving in the right direction, but I hear employees who confide in me regularly and confide in my staff say, the minute an opportunity opens up across the street, I am out of here because I just really don't like my boss, I don't like the work I do, whatever. And so employers need to and want to work on how do I keep those A players.
Well, what's happened? What's causing this attitude? But these feelings, I should say, for employees to feel the way they feel. I'm just quite surprised to hear that.
I think part of it derives from complacency. You know, we've
by
all
whom?
Been in a, from the employer's perspective, we've all been in a hunker down mode for several years now. In many cases, there haven't been pay increases given. There haven't been people added. In most cases, there have been people laid off. And so we're doing more work with fewer people. And as a result, employees are feeling like they're carrying the weight on their backs.
So it's poor old me?
It's poor old me. And in many cases, the employers are sharing that pain and not feeling like, you know, I have to make sure that I re-recruit you. And in fact, some employers are talking about, I just need to go re-recruit the current staff I have to make sure they stay, especially those A players.
Wow, that's really interesting. So is that some of the work that you're doing with employers right now in order to move this dialogue and re-engagement along?
We absolutely do. And probably at the start of that process is we do an engagement survey. And there are lots of different formats that you can do an engagement survey, everything from a focus group with a small group of employees, one-on-ones, to doing a hard survey that people would do online or in paper and pencil. Most of them are done online now. And, you know, we facilitate that because sometimes employees are a little more comfortable doing it, giving that information.
You're the third party, then, aren't you? Yeah, okay.
And we ask them a group of questions to say, you know, how do you feel about working here? Do you trust your boss? Do you believe your boss has integrity? Do you feel like there are career opportunities for you here? Is there good communication? Gallup has a great list of 12 simple questions that they ask. And for most small employers, they can do that survey on SurveyMonkey. I mean, you don't have to spend a lot of money on it. And it's a great way to get a feel on where are the issues, where are people happy or not, and what can we go focus on. And we build a plan from there.
Interesting.
California's small biz, the markets, and more. It's the Mark Montgomery Show right now on Sacramento's New Money 105.5 and Money105.5.biz.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Mark Montgomery, Small Biz Talk Radio, coming at you live and local, 1-866-576-1055. You're listening to the Wall Street Business Network. Email mark at smallbiztalkradio.com and live streaming and podcast, smallbiztalkradio.com. And don't forget to sign up for the biz meeting, breakfast meeting, coming up January 10th. You can go to smallbiztalkradio.com and just click on register now for additional information, times, place, map, you know, all your needs. Anyway, we're in session with Tom Bone and Kim Silvers with Silvers HR. Fascinating subject, and I want to get on with it because we're going to be limited on time in this last segment, Tom.
The next thing that I think we want to touch a point on is that how do employers feel about what is going on with the employee relations, and how do they feel about their employees in some cases? And I think you might have some interesting thoughts on that that you could share.
Well, I find that employers, and this is a generalization, of course, but employers are frustrated to some degree that they have an overlay of so many laws, regulations that they need to follow in order to manage their business and to manage their employees. In many cases, their employees know as much and sometimes more than the employer does about their rights under California employment law. And so I find employers almost tend to get a little lax about reinforcing the value of those employees to them, telling employees, you know, here's the vision of the company, sharing that passion. Sometimes as employers, we just get so bogged down with running the day-to-day business, we forget why we got into business to begin with, and we forget to share that with employees. And, you know, just like a good marriage, over time, if you don't tell somebody you love them, they forget, and you forget. So I find that regular communication really makes a difference in keeping employees engaged, keeping them online, whether it's the good times or the bad times, sharing with employees how you're doing. And, you know, when I leave here today, I'm going back for a staff meeting with my team, and I will share our financials. You know, Mark, you mentioned during the break that you do that, and I just find that they need to know where we are. We need to celebrate. You know, we've had a great year, and I want them to know that. I'm not concerned that they'll feel that, you know, they're not making enough money or whatever. I make sure that everybody gets their rewards. So I think employers taking that time to, again, re-recruit their staff, particularly those A players, let them know that they're A players and the value they bring to the company really pays off. Because when you think about turnover, employee turnover cost anywhere from 25% to 125% of that individual's annual salary to replace them.
Do employers really get that?
I don't think so. Quite often when I teach a class called Finding the Keepers and we talk about the cost of turnover, and we start calculating out what it costs to particularly replace a great salesperson who's left to go to a competitor, it is an outrageous expense. And, you know, I was at an unemployment appeal hearing with an employer recently, and we walked out and the employer said, "I don't think that employee ever understood how valuable she was to my company." And I thought at the time, gosh, it's unfortunate that she's now gone and she still doesn't understand the value she brought to you. So I just think it's so important to take the time to do that.
So when it comes to even the bad news, Kim, how much detail should employers share with their staff? You know, because there's kind of a balance there, it strikes me, that some of us who have our own firms or principals with others maybe don't want to share exactly what our particular income is or whatever, and because how it might be interpreted. What are your thoughts about sharing detailed information, particularly when it's negative?
Well, I don't know that all of the detail needs to go all the way down the organization, and I may not talk about dollars as opposed to percentages or completion of some specific goals. I want X number of new client accounts, you know, more goals toward that. But I think it's important that people have some tie, some line of sight between what they do personally and what the organization's ultimate goals are. And so they see that tie between the sustainability.
So are you saying that you don't see it being personalized enough by employers so that employees really find out what their role, responsibility, and contribution is? Is that what you're saying?
I think there's a big gap between the personalization of our organization meeting the goals, completing our mission, why we're here, and individual employees seeing what they do tied to that. It happens every day of the week.
How often do you feel that this type of dialogue should go on? You're going to back to have a meeting with your team, an employer like my firm or Mark's firm or others out there. What would you suggest? How often there should be a kind of a meeting of the minds and sharing of information by the employer to the employees?
Well, depending on, again, the level of the employee, it might be once a year. We have a meeting about once a quarter, but we certainly have one-on-one meetings and small group meetings at least monthly, if not more often. So depending on that individual's role in the organization, for your senior team meeting, you may have that more often and talk about those goals and go celebrate them and adjust them. If you see that, you know, you've just lost some significant business or you're about to get significant business, you may change the goals that you set out at the beginning of the year. And having some flexibility in that really pays off with employees and them seeing that you're able to weave and bob.
So is there really, in your perspective, with the businesses out there you see in our region, do you see there is overall a lack of communication or just in specific areas like we're talking about right now to show appreciation, celebrate those areas that need to be celebrated? Do you see that communication overall is kind of lacking when it comes to what you see as a HR consultant?
I think we're all so busy doing the business that and fighting fires that we forget about the communication piece, whether it's telling employees you're on target, you're missing target, and it's just a general lack of communication and thought about who really would need to make a difference in knowing this information.
Is this part of your practice to emphasize with employers the need of communication, and then do you help them set up some sort of mechanism so that they can have less downs and more ups when it comes to communication and avoid issues that might hurt the organization?
We do work with employers on what we sometimes call attraction and retention programs. So,
what does that mean?
Well, that means, you know, how to attract the right people who are good fits for your organization, and then how to retain them, and what sort of, whether it's benefits programs, whether it's perks, you know, whatever might be ideal to that employee in keeping them involved in that. We have a client who has a group of very young women who work for him. Actually, they're not that young because the number one perk he has is he gives them discounts to get Botox. And
really?
They love that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when he signed on with us, he turned to me and he said, "Now, Kim, now that you're one of our key partners, you too can partake in the Botox friends and family discount." And I'm not sure if I was excited about that or not.
Yeah. What a pleasant offer, though, right?
Yes, yeah, so yeah. It was certainly generous of him.
He's very trying to be very thoughtful.
Right.
Now, when it comes to information in some companies, and Mark's been involved in the industry, there's a lot of independent contractors. How should those independent contractors folks really play into this communication?
Well, I think that, first of all, if you have independent contractors, I think you should think twice about whether they should be independent contractors or not. They are a dying breed, and it is very risky for California employers to have them now. Actually, across the country, it's risky to have independent contractors who perhaps should be classified as employees. But I will have independent contractors have some information about the organization. You have to be a little careful about treating them exactly like the employee base, because then they become almost common law employees. And you know, that was a big issue with the Microsoft case several years ago, where you know they got everything except stock options and medical benefits, mm-hmm. and then eventually they got all of that retroactively. So I'd share some information with them, but certainly not as much as I would with the key staff.
So independent contractors become more of a minefield than it was in the past?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah, there's a comment that I'll make real quick on that. We talked about this a while back, and there is actually an IRS test that you can actually, you can Google it, you know, probably independent contractor IRS test, and you can come up with it. It's like about a, I think it's like a 10 question or 20, I can't remember at this
yes.
point, that ask various questions. And again, typical, you know, government stuff, you know, you could basically apply every one of them and say, hey, I'm safe, but you're not safe because they'll interpret something, you know, differently. But it's a good guideline on, you know, what that difference between independent contractor and a normal employee, you know, might be. A quick question I had for you too, Kim, is that do you find, and I've heard this in the past, that employee referrals for employees, in other words, if you're looking to hire someone, are you better off to go out into the private sector, you know, and advertise for that employee? Or do you find that employee referrals of people they know is a good way to go, too? And I've heard both ways.
Employee referrals, Mark, are a tremendous way to get great people, and they tend to stay longer with the company. They tend to perform better based on their performance appraisals. It typically takes fewer days to fill positions when you use employee referrals. They tend to be more engaged, more involved, because they're attached to somebody else in the organization. It is a tremendous program.
That's what I thought. I've always used that favorably, you know, in the past. So
this has been a great discussion. I'm sure glad that we finally got Kim on the show after her putting me off for so many months. And you know, she knows I'm teasing her about this. But Kim can be reached at silvershr.com, and she welcomes your inquiries. And I would encourage you to give her firm a call when it comes to all types of human resource issues. Of course, I can be reached. You can Google me, TomBoneInsuranceMatters.com. I can also be reached on, I have a telephone number too, Mark, at 265-3837, and we still have those little tools left, and I'd welcome your calls. If these types of resources that we share with you every Tuesday are of interest to you, seek your advisor that you currently have to get these tools. They should be proactive, or give me a call. Kim, thanks so much. And Mark, thank you for the extension of time.
Hey, it was a pleasure, and I'm glad we held you over. This is a great subject. And Kim, just to mention real quick, and we've talked about it, I'm looking at maybe having you as one of the speakers at our January 10th breakfast meeting. I think it'd be a great subject to cover with employers, you know, that will be there. You've been listening to Mark Montgomery along with Tom Bone and Kim Silvers from Silvers HR. Mark Montgomery, Small Biz Talk Radio. Join me tomorrow morning. We'll be back at that time. Have a wonderful day. Mark Montgomery, signing out.